All right, can you hear me? Am I on?
Yeah.
All right. Let me just move this out of the way so you can see me because I'm short. Hey, aren't you glad that Merle got saved?
Yeah.
Anybody read the bulletin in the back and the comic? That was really good. That was really good. Yeah. Through ketchup. Come on now. Well, it's such a great honor to be here today, and actually, it's been a little while since I've been here, so will anybody give me an extra 5 minutes today?
Yeah.
Anybody? All right, good. 5, 10, 15. All right, good. I'm good. I'm in good shape. No, I think they said to get out of here by around 12 or 1 or something like that. But no, we'll be done in not too long. Listen, there's a great passage of Scripture in the Gospel of John. In chapter 11, I'm not going to really preach out of that, but I was just reminded of this text where at the graveside of Lazarus, Jesus, he told the grieving sisters, Martha and Mary, he gave them two very, very important truths. He said, number one, he said, your brother is going to rise again. That's what he said. Your brother is going to rise again. And the second thing that he told them, he said, everyone who is living that's believing in me will not die at all. But then he gave this great question that I want to ask you this morning. He said to Mary and Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And my question to us today is this. Do we believe this? Do we believe that we that are believing, we will never die and that we will rise again? Come on. Do we believe this, right? And so the title of my message today is, where are we going? Where are we going? And here's my text of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to be looking at just the first 8 verses or so. And I'm going to read it in a couple different translations, paraphrase, if you will. And let me share this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. The Apostle Paul says, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. Verse 2. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies, we will not be spirits without bodies. Verse 4, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to listen to these next three verses, 6, 7, and 8. He writes, so we are always confident. We are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing, not by seeing. Yes, verse 8, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. And yes, life is a journey. It is a journey. But the destination is not found on earth. You might want to bring me down just a little bit because I could get animated. Just warning you. The destination is not found on earth. We very often compare our life to being on a journey, right? And finding our purpose, if you will. We see it on t-shirts. We see it on social media. Sometimes we look at little wall plaques, and these are things that are that talk to us about the journey. Matter of fact, people write books about it. They even go to college and get degrees so that they can tell other people about life's journey. I just came across a couple things. I just printed them out. This was a T-shirt. Plan, pray, pursue, persist, persevere. Life is a journey. A couple of little wall plaques. Life is a journey, and only you hold the key. Life is not a race. It's a journey, so enjoy it, right? And the truth is that the cliche is real. Life is a journey. However, our brains are funny, and they only know how to complete the journey by arriving to a safe destination or a safe place at the end. It's our goal, if you will, the motivator. It's about the destination, right? But here's where I believe that many of us, we hit a wall. Life is a journey, but the destination is not here on earth, it's in heaven. The destination is in heaven. And the question is, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe that you will rise again? Do you believe that if you are a believer, that you will not die? That's the question. Do you believe this? Now, in order to talk about that purpose, that life's journey with an expectation of destination, we have to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, don't we? Where it says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planned eternity in the, he has planted eternity in the human heart. Can I say it? It's like a homing device. God has placed eternity in our hearts, and our hearts are longing for that place. A few weeks ago, I had a very interesting experience. It's been my, I don't know, custom, tradition, whatever you want to say, my habit. I wake up in the morning, and I lift up my hands before the Lord, and I just start to praise the Lord in the morning. I don't know what your ritual or your habit is, but I just begin to do that. And recently, over the last 8 months or so, the Lord has been just kind of dropping a word into my heart, just a word that would kind of guide me for the day. Sometimes it's grace, sometimes it's love, sometimes it's mercy. But this particular morning, the Lord dropped the word curiosity in my heart. And I'm like, curiosity, what does that got to do with anything? And then as I was just kind of meditating and thinking about that word curiosity, another word came, and that was mystery. And I began to realize that life is really a mystery. And when we think about God and when we think about eternity, in many ways, it's a mystery. And the Lord was stirring my heart with this word of curiosity, that as I now live on this earth and I'm walking through the life's journey, if you will, I'm curious of understanding the mystery. And then, if of course, the Lord is so faithful, he put curiosity, the mystery, but then he put the key to all of it, and that is he gave me the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit, it was stirring in my heart, I began to say that in that curiosity, I was beginning to understand just a little bit more each day of the mystery of eternity. So this basically means that our ultimate goal, Our ultimate contentment, where we'll only truly be our best selves, if you will, can never be found on this earth, can it? But only in heaven. You know, we were never really created to feel truly at home here on earth. Honestly, we are just passing through. We're just passing through, Trey. And some of us will live on this earth 60, 70, 80, 90, maybe even 100 years. And if you're Mennonite, 110. I've heard stories. But we're just passing through. See, our home, our journey's end, our destination is when we are in direct, unhindered presence of Jesus. That's the destination. When we are together with Jesus, face to face in eternity with Him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so here's the conundrum. Don't you love that word? The word conundrum means a difficult question to answer. Here's the conundrum. Are we content? Are we fulfilled? Are we satisfied now here on earth? Sometimes, maybe, partly. And I think that we often feel so unfulfilled, so discontent, because our hearts are simply longing for the true place where there's true purpose. And we long for that face to face to worship our Creator for all of eternity without unhinderedness, if you will. And I know that seems so vast. It seems incomprehensible. The psalmist said that His greatness is unsearchable. It's too big. Psalm 145, verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." But try, we must, to seek in that mystery with that curiosity by the presence of the Holy Spirit. I was reading in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 through 17. I'm going to read it out of the Message paraphrase. I hope that does not offend, but I want to read it because it really captures the thought of this text. In Isaiah 40, verses 12 through 17, it says, "Who has scooped up the ocean in his two hands? Who has measured the sky between his thumb and his little finger? Who has put all the earth's dirt in one of his baskets, weighed each mountain and hill? Who could ever have told God what to do or taught him his business? What expert would he have to go to for advice? What school would he attend to learn justice? What God do you suppose might have taught him what he knows? Showed him how things work. Why, the nations are but a drop in the bucket, a mere smudge on a window. Watch him sweep up the islands like so much dust off the floor. There aren't enough trees in Lebanon, nor enough animals in those vast forests to furnish adequate fuel and offerings for his worship. All the nations add up to simply nothing before him. Less than nothing is more like it, a minus." And while we are still trying to wrap our heads around that concept of the bigness, the greatness, the unbelievableness of God, it may give us some explanation that our soul has been longing for. Again, God has planted eternity in our hearts, and our hearts long for that place of worship with God. And so when we realize, and when we reflect, and when we remind our souls that this is our ultimate treasure, heaven, face to face, the bigness, the mystery of God, I believe it's a game changer for us when it comes to discovering our purpose. You see, discovering and living out our purpose can be so much more attainable when we know that it's not here on earth, but it's in heaven. Enjoyable, less stressful, So much less pressure, if you ask me, building towards there and not here. So now we know we'll never truly arrive when it comes to our purpose here on earth, so the pressure's off. But we're just passing through, but our purpose and the journey's end is our face-to-face with God. But how do we live now? How do we live purpose-filled? How do we live joy-filled? How do we live an abundant life? I don't usually do this, but I'm going to share something. This is what I've been sharing with our church at Grace for the last 2 years. Four very important things. Number one, as we are passing through, we are to stand firm. When we have a world that's gone sideways, we have to stand firm in the Word of God. We have to stand firm in our convictions of who Jesus is. Number two, we have to learn to love well. We love well to those that are around us. We love those that we love. We love those that we may not love so much, but we love them. We learn to love well. Number three, we learn to walk in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And if I look at all the circumstances in this world, my joy can be depleted. But the joy that I have is my confidence in where I'm going. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And number four, and this is the big one that we've been sharing, we even made t-shirts. God is still happening. God is still happening. We don't live with an old God, a God that's already done. We don't even serve a God that we're just waiting for now that someday we'll experience Him. God is happening here. He's still happening. He's still happening. And so how should we then live on this earth as we navigate through? The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, listen, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in me, works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now let me just read this in the Message paraphrase because it just explodes with life. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father. This magnificent Father who parcels out all of heaven and earth, I ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. That Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite Him in. And ask Him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out, experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the goodness of God. Verse 20 and 21, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Watch. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all the millennia. Yes, amen. You know, as I begin to close, which doesn't mean anything, have you ever noticed when Jesus was having communion with his disciples? I mean, you talk about destination. He says in Matthew 26, verse 29, it says, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Paul expresses it this way in Corinthians. Do this until he comes. You see, Jesus promised his disciples, that's a great word. He promised his disciples that they were going to join him in a very special celebration in his Father's kingdom. And if that doesn't get you joyful, I don't know what will. It is a promise that Jesus himself is waiting to partake in the cup until he has safely brought each one that he's invited to the table home. Do you believe this? That's the question. Do you believe this? In other words, Jesus was saying, no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, I'm coming back for you. I'm coming back for you. You listen, Jesus wins. And his disciples, you and me, we will join him safely in the future celebration of his Father's kingdom. That's the truth. That's the purpose. That's the destination. That is worth the journey called life. You see, there is a destination, and Jesus is it. Face to face, in the fullness of his presence. As I close, I want to just give you four action steps that you can take home. Action steps that you can think about as we are journeying through this thing called life. Number one, you've got to reflect. You got to reflect, and you got to keep short accounts. Deal with your sin. And sin is anything that you think, say, or do that displeases God. Deal with that. Keep short accounts. Confess your sin. Repent of your sin and walk in forgiveness daily. Reflect on that. Number two, you got to receive. You reflect. Number two, you receive. Receive all the promises that God has given us. He says in his word that every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ Jesus. Everything that we need for life and godliness is ours. So receive healing. Receive forgiveness, receive freedom, receive wholeness, receive grace, receive mercy each and every day. Can I just say this? This is not in my notes. There is no time to worry or complain. It just doesn't do any of us any good. Number three, you want to remember. You're reflecting, you're receiving, and you're remembering. Remember that his resurrection power is available to us as we walk in this thing called life. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling inside of us. That resurrection power is working. Remember that his power is working within us. And then finally, number four, we need to respond. So we're reflecting, we're receiving, we're remembering, and we're responding. Respond this morning and be encouraged to keep your eyes on Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews, fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of your faith. He is the pioneer of your salvation. Jesus came, broke the barrier of time and space, dwelt among us, and showed us how to live the journey. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Amen? We started in our my time with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. I want to close our time with that scripture again. In the Message paraphrase, listen to this. Paul said, for instance, we know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they will be replaced by resurrected bodies in heaven, God-made, not handmade. And we'll never have to relocate our tents again. Sometimes we can hardly wait to move. And so we cry out in frustration. Compared to what's coming, living conditions around here seem like a stopover in an unfurnished shack, and we're tired of it. We have been given a glimpse of the real thing, our true home, our resurrected bodies. The Spirit of God whets our appetite by giving us a taste of what's ahead. He puts a little of heaven in our hearts so that we'll never settle for less. This is my favorite part. Verses 6 through 8. That's why we live with such good cheer. You won't see us drooping our heads or dragging our feet. Cramped conditions here don't get us down. They only remind us of the spacious living conditions ahead. It's what we trust in but don't see yet that keeps us going. Let me read that again. It's what we trust in but don't see yet that keeps us going. Do you suppose a few ruts in the road or rocks in the path are going to stop us? When the time comes, we'll be plenty ready to exchange exile for homecoming. Our journey, our destination, it's heaven. Do you believe this? If you believe, you will never die. Amen? Amen? Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for our time together. I thank you, Lord God, that you are still happening. That we can stand firm in your word, stand firm in your presence, stand firm in our identity in you. That we can learn to love well, even when it's hard to love well. That we can walk in the joy of the Lord, for that joy is our strength. We thank you and we praise you. And I thank you, God, that, again, you are still happening. You're still working inside of us. So help us to continue to reflect. Continue to remind ourselves, to remember, to respond, and to keep our eyes on you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.